Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong from Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. On tonight's show, we are hanging with one of my favorite new singer, songwriter, artists around. His name is Ryan Purds, and this interview aired on Tuesday, May 26th. Enjoy. Well, I'm so excited for tonight's conversation. One of the things we do on the show is invite our favorite artists and musicians on, and that ranges from all-time greats, the legends, to the artists who are on that journey right now and who are making new music that we're going to be talking about for years and years to come. And I sincerely believe that's the case with tonight's special guest, Ryan Purds. Man, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
So let's get right into it, man. For a lot of listeners, this might be the first time that they hear your story. You released your first EP, First Sight, about 6 years ago, but you were making music before that. Where did this love of rock and roll come from for you?
I've always loved, you know, music as far back as I can remember. Like, my family was doing karaoke in the house when I was like four. But yeah, I've always been drawn to rock. When I was like 10, I got really into grunge music. That's kind of why I picked up a guitar, honestly. Kurt Cobain, the Chili Peppers, that's who I really loved. And I just really resonated with the grunge dudes really early. And I'm not just into grunge either. I love classic rock. Led Zeppelin's one of my favorite bands, you know.
Yeah. So you're the youngest of four brothers. I mean, was it kind of their, like, did they influence you? Like, hey, you got to check out this band. You got to listen to this music.
For sure. They were always just playing stuff. I mean, Foo Fighters were constantly playing, Red Hot Chili Peppers constantly. Yeah. So I just always heard it.
Right on. And I think I heard that one of your brothers gave you that guitar that you picked up when you were 10. Is that right?
Yeah. He bought me a guitar for my birthday. They're all a lot older than me. So, yeah, he bought me a guitar and, I just kept playing and stuck with it.
What was the first song you played on that? Do you remember?
I Think About a Girl by Nirvana.
Nice. That's a good pick. I think my first, the first riff I ever played was a very simple Come As You Are from Nirvana.
Exactly.
So yeah, I get it, man. So, I mean, you know, growing up, four brothers growing up on an old dairy farm in Buffalo, New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Surrounded by music, you know, all different kinds, surrounded by, sounds like a shared love of music within the family. Was there a moment for you, though, where it clicked, where you were like, this isn't just something I connect to or something I like, this is something I want to do, this is something I want to be part of?
I mean, I would say when I was like 15 is when I started actually playing live and stuff like that. I'd say that was when, I guess. Yeah, after I started kind of performing in front of people and I saw how much people liked it, it kind of, in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, I want to keep doing this. And my family was so supportive, my parents and everything like that. I just stuck with it.
I love that, man. And once you started playing live, I mean, is that kind of also when you started recording yourself doing cover songs and sharing them online?
It wasn't up until like a few years later I started kind of posting online, and then it started getting traction during COVID.
And, you know, a lot of those videos did well, you know, I mean, by, you know, what we would say do well, views and all of that. But, you know, it was your cover of Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit that really took off. What was that like for you, man, in the moment, watching that just explode like that?
It's really weird. Yeah. Like, it went so mega viral that it's like, it almost seemed fake. It's like, why?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was cool. I mean, I just randomly thought of the idea and just did it. I was like laying on my couch half asleep. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll post another video today. And I just kind of tossed that one up years ago and it worked.
Right on, man. I love that. You didn't force it, or you weren't like thinking like, all right, this is the one, you know, this is the song that's going to do it.
No, I didn't think that at all. I had already posted like four times that day, stupid stuff. I'm like, oh, I'll do this stupid idea too. Like, oh wow, people like it. Okay.
Right on. So when did you start writing your own songs? Was it kind of around the same time that you're sharing these covers?
No, it was way before that. I was like, I think I was 15 years old. I didn't start posting covers online until I was like 18 or, you know, older.
So started playing guitar at 10. You played that first live show when you were around 15, around the same time you started writing songs. Over that, like the 5 years in between, and not that you can remember every step of the way or anything like that, but I mean, were you kind of messing around with this idea of like, maybe I can make my own music, maybe I can write songs?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of still learning. Like, I played guitar when I was younger, but it's not like I really knew how to play it really well.
Yeah.
I was like learning, and, you know, I took a break from it probably in the middle there too. But yeah, I always wanted to write my own music. That was a goal always. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Writing is kind of my favorite part of playing guitar. I don't really practice scales or anything like that. I kind of just pick it up to write stuff.
You know, sharing covers is tough because you're taking on someone else's work and putting your own voice to it and all of that. But sharing your own music is, you know, a different level of tough too, because now you're being even more vulnerable than ever before. When did you feel ready to do that, to like share that with the world?
I don't know. I feel like it's all the same to me. I don't think there's really a difference with sharing it. I mean, it's tougher for people to enjoy it for sure. Like if you're a cover guy, if you're a cover guy and then you post, you know, one of your original songs, like get ready for a quarter amount of likes. And you know, that's just how it goes. I mean, just don't get discouraged. That's it, really. Cause people just like what they're familiar with. It's nothing against what you write. It's just people don't, they're not familiar with it yet. So they just scroll by it. But yeah, I've never been really too shy about sharing my own music. That's kind of why I play guitar and sing.
Right on, man. I love that. Well, I mean, here we are tonight celebrating some original music in this, your latest single, Sour. And, you know, we're playing it on the show, man. We love it. And the first time I heard it, I was kind of knocked back. Just everything about it, from the guitars to the lyrics to your vocals, it resonated with me in a lot of different ways. You know, you've talked a bit about it, you know, when it came out, but where did the song come from for you?
Lyrically, you know, it's about your perspective on yourself and, you know, looking in at yourself. And I feel like people can relate to it in different ways, whether it be relationship with people, addiction, you know, drugs or whatever it might be. Everybody has the self-hatred involved with everything, I feel like, or maybe just people that like grunge, I guess. Maybe everybody doesn't have self-hatred, but I like to write music and say the things that people don't usually say, you know, and I can't really say them either. So I sing them instead.
That's fair, man. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, nothing new, but definitely therapeutic, I'm sure, for you.
I guess. Yeah. Therapeutic is screaming the lyrics on stage for sure. that's more like it.
That's good, man. I mean, do you have your own form of self-hatred?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I feel like everybody does. Some more than most for sure. But yeah. I mean, I'm pretty down on myself my whole life. You know, everybody struggles with their own stuff, but yeah, I like to just kind of say it through my music rather than just saying it, because why would I ever say it? That's why people write songs too, because where would you ever say this stuff or get this stuff out besides, you know, therapy, obviously, which I don't do, which maybe I should.
But you do it, like, on the stage, man.
Yeah, because if you write stuff like that, like think about all the people that listen to Kurt Cobain and stuff like that, and they think, wow, I just found something that makes me feel that like I'm not so alone, even if they're not a heroin addict, or if they can't relate to him at all, if they're from Alaska or something, he's from a rainy place in Seattle. It doesn't matter. Everybody's struggles can relate, even if they're completely different.
That's right, man. And yeah. And you know, to your point too, about like where the song might come from for you, when I hear it, I'm going to connect with it in my own, you know, completely personal way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about powerful lyrics and that connection, man. You know, the first time I jumped on YouTube and watched the visualizer for Sour, I wasn't surprised by the comments. I was kind of surprised by how many of the comments, you know, all said the same thing, that you're this generation's Chris Cornell. When you hear or read something like that, what runs through your head?
I just think, I hope people don't think I say that and think that.
But, that's right. No, yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I love Chris Cornell. He's my biggest inspiration. When he passed, I listened to him like crazy because I was in high school. And actually, that sparked me to continue taking it more seriously when I really got into him, because he can take an acoustic guitar and entertain people like it's a full band. that's what I strive to do as well. But yeah, obviously listening to him so much, I take on some of his characteristics. I don't think that I sound like him a lot. I think I take inspiration for sure from him. I don't try to copy him or anything like that, but I really do enjoy his music. And if you listen to somebody, you know, it's going to show.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think a lot of those comments too, they may initially come from, you know, the voice, but I think the more people spend time with their music, I think those comments are rooted in that, just a deep appreciation for your lyrics too, and saying the things that, you know, we can't, or we don't necessarily want to say, but here you are saying them and we can connect to them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's like the whole point of me writing. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
The first time I heard your voice, Cornell wasn't the guy that came to my mind, but Travis Meeks from Days of the New. And, you know, for whatever reason, that really stuck with me. And I don't know if it's a good thing, but you certainly are connected to some incredible voices and songwriters who have, and, you know, talking about Meeks and Cornell, you know, had gone through a lot in their lives, and the highs and the lows, and were really, those were really lived out in, you know, in the public eye. Has there been, as you've had, you know, as your audience has grown and grown, has it been difficult for you to be comfortable in the spotlight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. You know, I don't really need to get into my like mental health or anything like that, because I just say it in my lyrics. I don't really like to talk about it. But yeah, it sucks, because if you're a guy that struggles with mental health and stuff, and then people, you get like popular, it's tough.
Yeah.
But what can you do? I don't know.
No, that's fair, man. Well, you can write a song, and I think we can rely on you for that.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, man, congrats on the recent announcement of your debut full-length album, Can't Cry, coming out in August. How's it feel to have this record, you know, written, getting ready for the world to hear?
It's awesome. I mean, my brother did the cover art for it. My brother did the painting. I don't know if you've seen it, the gorilla.
I have, yeah. I want to hear more about that.
I don't know. I don't even know the story really behind it, which I should, or I should just make up something about it. But he did it years ago, and it's huge. But yeah, he's had it forever. I've liked it. And he's done multiple other covers too, like my Broken World cover. It's like a Bigfoot holding like an alien or some shit like that.
Common theme, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's got to feel good to be at this point, right? Getting ready for the debut.
Yeah, I mean, this album is a long time coming. I've released so many singles over the years, but and EPs and stuff like that. It was my first album. And it, you know, it's really cool to finally get this out. I'm excited. Just the writing process was so fun. Everything leading up to this was just so cool.
Did you write everything by yourself?
Most of it. I have ideas, and I bring them to the studio, and I worked with Sam Hollander and Grant Michaels. He's from Buffalo. He kind of got me hooked up with Sam. You know, Buffalo people stick together. So, but yeah, and a few other people, Tolan Shaw produced it, you know, Godin. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. We recorded it in like a renovated barn type studio, raw recording outside of Mount Kisco. So I traveled from Buffalo to record in the studio with all those guys. And it was a lot of fun.
Like you said, you know, you've released a lot of singles and EPs. Are these songs, you know, are they relatively new, or are some of these you've been working on for a long time?
Well, these are actually the first time too that I worked collaboratively with people as well. That's different about this album as well. All these new songs, you know, I worked with Sam, but most of them are pretty new. I mean, the songs, and you know, they're not like stale or anything. But so, like the riff of Sour or whatever, you know, like the verse, I had that guitar part for so long, like just in my back pocket, and then I just had it and then just stuck it together, and like the chorus of it, I just kind of started singing it like in a couple seconds in the studio, and the melody of it, and it just worked.
That's amazing, man. I love that. Sounds like a lot that happens is relatively like it just happens, like you're not forcing anything or trying to fit into a formula or anything like that.
Exactly. Like I remember like the chorus of Paradise or whatever, I just randomly sang it one day with my acoustic guitar. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It just comes to you from somewhere else. Not that it's like extremely like amazing or anything. I'm not Michael Jackson here. You know, did you see the movie, by the way?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you got it. I saw it twice.
All right, so you liked it. Good, man. Do you
I liked it, yeah.
Do you like those type of like the biopics of musicians?
I mean, artists? I love Michael Jackson. He's like one of my favorites. So yeah, I really want them to do a Nirvana one. I think it would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Michael Jackson one is cool because his famous line, he's like, oh, I'm channeling. Cause if I don't write it, then Prince will get it. Write it the next day or something. So I'm butchering the quote, but yeah, it's a great. It's like saying that you're channeling music from somewhere else, like a cloud somewhere.
I love that, man. All right, last question, man. You've been doing this for a bit since you were a teenager, and you know you still got so much ahead of you too. Do you allow yourself to think far ahead, like think of the big dreams, or do you try to kind of just stay present in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I try to just think about the now because, like, as of recently too, it's like if you think about the future too much, I just start going like, you know, nuts in my head and stuff, and you just internalize it and you just explode. Really, you just got to take it day by day. And I think I'm different than a lot of people. You know, maybe some people can handle it where they're like, yeah, I'm gonna go sell out Madison Square Garden, I'm gonna be fine with it. Like that kind of it's kind of off-putting in my mind. I don't know. So I just kind of think about today and take it day by day. And yeah, maybe that's a bad answer, but that's just the truth.
No, dude. Listen, nothing bad about the truth, man. Ryan Purds, dude, thank you so much for hanging with us tonight. Congrats on everything this year, especially this latest single, Sour. And I cannot wait for the world to hear this new album, Can't Cry, coming out in August. Listeners, get everything you need at ryanpurds.com. I promise you we'll keep you posted here on Loudwire too. But Ryan, man, I know this is just the beginning, so hopefully we can do this again soon. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, man. Of course. Thanks for having me.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.